I'm Karen Given, and it's time for three stories you should know. On Thursday night, Miami Dolphins wide receiver Kenny Stills defended a tweet he sent out earlier this week, criticizing team owner Stephen Ross for holding a fundraiser for the president.
I understand that, you know, some people think that you don't say those types of things to your boss, but that, like, for me, it's just a human being. And if you say you're going to be about something, let's be about it.
That's where we'll start this week. I'm joined by Professor Kenneth Shropshire, CEO of the Global Sport Institute at Arizona State University, and by Lindsay Gibbs, reporter at Think Progress. Welcome back to both of you.
Thanks, Kier.
Thanks so much for having me.
Ken, you're first.
The irony that Kenny's pointing out is that Stephen Ross founded and funds a nonprofit called RISE, the Ross Initiative in Sport for Equality. The mission of that organization is to use sport to positively impact the race problem in America. So Kenny, he was the first one to jump out there and tweet about kind of the disconnect between the idea of supporting a president who, at a minimum, you can say, has not been the most positively outspoken on race issues in America. And you can certainly go a lot more negative. But the disconnect between being supportive of that person and then saying you have a nonprofit that is focused on these issues. And Kenny wasn't alone. This was especially impactful for me. I was, until yesterday, a member of the board of RISE, the Ross Initiative. I resigned. The same feelings that Kenny had, I did reach to Steve and did not have a conversation with him. Kenny, I did reach, and Kenny was so powerful in conversation with me. I mean, the thing that he really highlighted was, and I think it's important to say, it's certainly within the rights of Steve Ross to support a candidate. But Kenny said, in a way that I can't articulate as well as he did, that if you're going to support a candidate, you got to support the whole bundle. So if you appreciate the tax cuts and the economy and that sort of thing, you can't separate it from the race issues. I give Kenny a lot of credit. I'm a guy who has a lot to lose. I think he has 2 years remaining on his contract with the Dolphins, but he's chosen to stand up and speak out.
Lindsay, I know you have thoughts on this.
You know I do. like you said, I give Kenny Still so much credit for taking a stand. I think, you know, one of the biggest things about this to me is that RISE, you know, it's about using sports to end racism, whereas Trump specifically uses sports to exploit racism by specifically going after Black athletes, particularly outspoken Black athletes. Talking to reporters, Kenny said that he had received 5 to 10 death threats since his tweet. He was, you know, a little shaken up about it, but he said, you know, it's important to me that this work is not just lip service.
Yeah, it's been really interesting to me, the reaction that's happening in two very different business sectors, because Ross isn't only the owner of the Miami Dolphins. He also owns a chain of upscale gyms. So on the one hand, you have the Equinox Gym / SoulCycle crowd, and they are talking about and actually canceling memberships, boycotting the gyms. On the other hand, Kenny Stills is receiving death threats. I mean, death threats.
This is not in the realm where death threats should be taking place. I don't know when death threats should take place, but this is really not this is not that space.
The Dolphins have an African-American coach. They have an African-American GM. Those hires didn't happen by accident. And diversity is such an important issue in the NFL. Does holding a fundraiser for Donald Trump undo all that good work?
No, and I do think you raise a very important point that, you know, I do a lot of work with the league, and people around the league refer to the Dolphins as Wakanda, that they do have this amazing collection of leadership, of African-American leadership. And this is Stephen Ross, and this is Stephen Ross at his best. So I say, I think, yeah, that you've really highlighted the complexity of trying to understand how should we think about this? I mean, Stephen Ross, he is a good man. I've spent a lot of time with him, done a lot of work with him. But to do this big public event in this moment in time, I think the moment in time is really what is most distressing. It's just very contradictory to the mission of RISE.
All right, Lindsay, you're up.
It's been about a year since the NCAA made a positive step in which they allow college basketball players who wanted to test the waters of the NBA draft to consult with agents without losing their NCAA eligibility, which is how generous of the NCAA. There are three specific criteria now that any of these agents must meet in order to qualify. They must pass an in-person exam administered in Indianapolis. They must be certified by the NBA Players Association for 3 years, and they must have a bachelor's degree. Now, that final step is the one that has drawn the most criticism, because right now, the most high-powered agent in sports, Rich Paul, who is LeBron James's longtime agent, also the agent of Anthony Davis and many other big NBA stars, he does not have a bachelor's degree. Immediately when this was announced, you know, LeBron James, Tristan Thompson, a lot of athletes took to Twitter and started calling this the Rich Paul rule, meaning that it seems that this is targeted towards attempting to contain the power of one of the very few prominent Black agents in the NBA. And it's also a pretty transparent attempt for the NCAA to continue to try and promote that a degree is important above all else. To me, this is a lot more about protecting the NCAA's power than it is about protecting the players.
Ken, what do you make of this?
I agree. We got everybody singing from the same hymnal here so far. I fully agree. And it could not be more egregious that one of the most successful agents ends up being treated negatively by virtue of a rule change. The idea that there's a test or some kind of barrier that you have to get through, that's one thing. But I mean, there are so many people that have had success, especially in tech and otherwise, without that degree. If there's a focus on degrees, it should be on meaningful degree completion for the athletes, mm-hmm. because that is an indicator of what success you might have. But in no way is it something that should be a qualifier once you've already been successful. Yeah. So that to me is the irony in all this.
It's really sad because whenever we all agree, we get emails and comments from people who say, can't you bring on someone who disagrees? And I looked around. Nobody disagrees. This move absolutely just reeks of desperation to me. Like, amateurism is being challenged from all sides, and the NCAA is desperate to maintain this illusion that college basketball and football in particular are all about education. And I guess the worry is that if your agent is some guy who's making millions of dollars a year without the benefit of a college degree, you might think that you can do that too.
To me, the timing of this is even this much more suspect, because one of Rich Paul's clients is an elite former high school basketball prospect, Darius Bazley, mm-hmm. who he arranged for Bazley to kind of skip the NCAA system altogether and get a $1 million internship with New Balance and continue to practice. And then he's going to enter the draft after that. The NCAA is terrified. And at this point, it does feel like they are standing on an island alone.
My favorite part of the New Balance deal is that the New Balance offices are quite literally right next door to the Boston Celtics training facility.
Oh, like, I love that.
Right next door. All right, now to the real important news of the week. Late last week, the Phillies filed a copyright lawsuit in a federal court to keep the Philly Fanatic, one of the most beloved mascots in Major League Baseball, from becoming a free agent. It sounds like a joke or maybe a publicity ploy, but it's not. It's real. The Phillies and Fanatic creators Bonnie Erickson and Wade Harrison have been fighting over this for more than a year. Erickson mentioned absolutely none of this when she appeared on Only a Game a month ago and described her creative process.
They had a slogan, which was Philly, be a Philly fanatic. I took that as wanting to have a megaphone, so that's where the snout for the fanatic came from. He evolved in the Galapagos and became this enormous baseball fan, because we figured, who could contest that?
So, according to Sports Illustrated's Michael McCann, the Phillies have a signed contract that transferred the rights to the Fanatic everywhere and forever. So that kind of seems like maybe a slam dunk to me. But that's not enough for the Phillies. To bolster their case, they're also arguing that Erickson didn't really create the Fanatic after all, which we know she did because nobody ever lies to only a game. What do you guys make of all this? Ken?
I am trained as a lawyer, so I can formalize my answer here. As I was reading it, there's some control of legacy. Who came up with the idea? And there's all the information about the great marketer of the Phillies, Bill Giles, who has a reputation throughout baseball, the things he did with the Phillies. And they want it to be that he was the creator, where, in fact, it's okay to have contracted out and somebody did it, and they did it under contract, and the rights are then yours. In perpetuity, or there's some other division. So the piece of paper controls.
Lindsay?
Well, I am not a lawyer. I do not have a law degree. So I think my proposition these days for mascots is that let's get rid of all of them, especially the racist ones, and just replace everybody with Philadelphia's only good mascot, which is Gritty. I think that Gritty should just be the mascot for everyone. And, there can be Cowboy Gritty if we want. Gritty can become regional and specified.
Lindsay, just for people who don't know, explain Gritty to us.
Oh my gosh, that might be impossible. Okay, I'm going to quote Wikipedia for this, okay? So Gritty, okay. He's the... I think I would like to say they.
I don't think
we need to gender
fair, yeah.
Gritty. Gritty is the official mascot for the Philadelphia Flyers. He is a 7-foot furry orange creature with googly eyes. If you have not seen Gritty, do yourself a favor. Pull over to the side of the road or stop what you're doing and just, Google image search for Gritty. You will thank me. Yes.
I like this proposal in theory, but then we'd have no more San Diego chicken,
I think I would be okay with that, but I see your point.
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Professor Kenneth Shropshire, CEO of the Global Sport Institute at Arizona State University. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you. And you guys left out Hip Hop and Big Shot, the Philly mascots
that
really strive for success.
And Lindsay Gibbs, reporter at Think Progress and co-host of the Burn It All Down podcast. Thank you, Lindsay.
Thanks so much.